rid of it. Oh, I'm going to talk to you about getting rid of it. How about that instead? Let's go to the book of Exodus this morning, chapter 12. I'm going to begin at verse 14. So Exodus 12, 14 is where I'm going to begin. And of course, I'm going to give you the backdrop of where we are in this particular story in the Bible. The Israelites have been in Egypt for 430 years. That's how long they were waiting in Egypt to be set free and go into the promised land. So slightly longer than we're waiting for some things sometimes, right? Right. 430 years. Wow. And Joseph had gone there first. Remember the famine and all that? And then how he was the second in command and how he took care of his brothers and Jacob, his father. And so they all ended up in Egypt. And then what happened with those Israelites is they actually grew. There were millions of them. They just kept populating and growing, and they were just doing so well there. And then Pharaoh realized that because the Israelites were growing so much, he tried to put the kibosh on that. And so what he did instead is he started to enslave them. And before you know it, they were being used to build a lot of different temples and things of that nature that Pharaoh wanted them to do. So he was cruel. He was harsh. He tried to wear them out all day and all night so that they would be tired and they wouldn't be as strong as they possibly could be. Plus, they wouldn't be able to have more children because they were so tired they couldn't do that. So, needless to say, propagate even more. Anyway, so, I'm trying to keep this pastorally right. Needless to say. So, because of the growth that they were having in population, Pharaoh was threatened by that. And the Israelites also had something that Pharaoh didn't have. They had God Almighty. Although Pharaoh had all of his gods and so forth, and it was a pagan country at that time, so Pharaoh was treating the Israelites cruelly, to say the least. And so those Israelites, over the course of time, in God's time and in God's way, because God predicted previously in the book of Genesis how long they would be in Egypt, so he had a plan, and it was actually given in prophecy to Jacob, so, and Abraham knew that ahead of time as well. So it's not as though they didn't know how long it was going to take. However, imagine being oppressed and depressed and treated cruelly for a number of years. That's an awful feeling, is it not? So how are you going to feel towards Pharaoh? Very angry. You'd want to retaliate, wouldn't you? You'd want to take over and eventually free yourself and crush him and just, you know, cause him to have the pain that you or they felt, right? That's very often how we react to suffering, don't we? When somebody hurts us or harms us, what do we want to do sometimes? Payback, revenge, right? Those kind of things. But see, God always has a plan. God always wants to do things in a positive, loving way for those people. And so what he does in Exodus chapter 12 is God starts to tell the Israelites, guess what? You're going to start moving out of this place of oppression and depression and this cruelty, and the suffering is going to end. You're going to be moving out of here. It's going to take about 7 days, and I'm going to set you free, because he was doing some things to Pharaoh, as you well know, the plagues that were there, trying to have Pharaoh really release the Israelites and let them go, and Pharaoh wasn't doing that, so God just upped the ante of the pain he was inflicting upon Pharaoh. You notice who's inflicting the pain? God, not the people, right? So they're not involved in any of this. But God is working behind the scenes to cause Pharaoh to let the people go, right? And so we pick up the story in chapter 12, verse 14. And prior to this, God gives to Moses all the instructions that they're to do prior to their leaving. And God also says to them, you're going to leave in a hurry. Isn't it good to know that when something in your life is about to change, God says to you, okay, get up and get a move on. We're moving forward. It's nice to know when the suffering starts to end, right? Because suffering always does end, by the way. And pain ends and hurt ends and so forth. Unless we do what? Become bitter about it. Become retaliatory. We try to think about how we're going to get back at them, right, sometimes. But God doesn't operate that way. He wants to move the people forward. And he wants to give them what he already promised them. The promised land, of course, right? So, verse 14. God says, you must remember this day forever. Each year you will celebrate it as a special, festival to the Lord. For 7 days, you may eat only bread made without yeast. On the very first day, you must remove every trace of yeast from your homes. Anyone who eats bread made with yeast at any time during the 7 days of the festival will be cut off from the community of Israel. On the first day of the festival and again on the seventh day, all the people must gather for a time of special worship. No work of any kind may be done on those days except in the preparation of food. Celebrate this festival of unleavened bread. We know it as what? Passover. Very first Passover. Unleavened bread. For it will remind you that I brought your forces out of the land of Egypt on this very day. This festival will be a permanent regulation for you to be kept from generation to generation. Only bread without yeast may be eaten from the evening of the 14th day of the month until the evening of the 21st day of the month. During those 7 days, there must be no trace of yeast in your homes. Anyone who eats anything made with yeast during this week will be cut off from the community of Israel. These same regulations apply to the foreigners living with you, as if they had been born among you. I repeat, during those days, you must not eat anything made with yeast. Wherever you live, eat only bread that has no yeast in it. I guess they're going on a diet before they head off, right? No yeast, nothing that's going to cause the bread to grow, right? The bread to rise, right? But you see, yeast, when you really look at it symbolically, what we see is leaven and yeast in the Bible. In fact, Jesus refers to it much later. Sometimes leaven is represented as sin, is it not? Also, it could be an influence, a negative influence, a leaven of the Pharisees, their negative influence on the people. Jesus said to the disciples, don't eat the yeast of the Pharisees. Don't do what they do. Do what I tell you to do, kind of a thing. And so it can be a positive or a negative. Also, there's also yeast that helps things to rise, right? The kingdom of God is like yeast put into a bread. It helps it to rise. So there's a positive reason for yeast. But we're going to talk about the reason God is using this yeast as a way that he wants them not to put it into their bread. Now, obviously, the bread would take time to rise. So they had to leave when? Right away, soon. So no time to get preparations, no time to make baked goods. You're going to rely on God going forward. But the other thing is this, and as I was reading this and studying it as God was revealing it to me, one of the things that yeast can also represent are those feelings that we often have inside of us that cause things to fester in us and grow. Like the negative things that had happened to these Israelites, right? Just imagine, right? They're all there, all those many years suffering under oppression, under depression, being treated harshly. What could some of them carry along with them into the future? Resentment. Resentment towards those people, the Pharaohs and all the others, or also resentment towards God, right? Why did God let this happen to us, right? Resentment, you know, it actually means to obviously, again, feel something. It's a French word, sense, resent. So sense, feeling. So you re-feel something that happened when? In the past. And when we resent someone or something, what we have happening is we have this feeling where we want to get back at them. So where does our mind go? What can happen inside of us when we have resentments towards anyone in our life? We want to retaliate. We want revenge. We start letting it consume us, right? Where is God sending the people? Promised land, whole new place, an empty place that's going to be filled with God's blessings, right? But if they get bitter and if they have resentments and they carry that with them forward, the scriptures tell us in Proverbs 27, it says, a stone is heavy and sandy in weight, but resentment is even heavier than both of those. We talked about stones last week, right? We had the one stone that knocked Goliath down. Isn't it cool if you've been in the backyard, you see 1,000 stones that are out there now? That's a new driveway that's put there, right? And they had to be moved by machinery. Those stones became very heavy in a pile, right? So when we have resentments and we have feelings of and reliving those hurtful things in our lives, it's a weight that we carry where? Forward sometimes, right? If you're trying to move forward and you're trying to get there fast, do you think you want a backpack of heavy stones of resentment on your back? See, if we get rid of, you know, and if those Israelites, that's the reason God said there should be no trace of memory. I'm going to put it that way. No trace of memory of all the bad things that these people did to you. You're going to go and be blessed in another place. So put it out of your memory bank. Leave it where it happens. Things have happened to all of us throughout our lifetime, correct? When did they happen? Most likely that we remind ourselves of them and think about them and dwell on them and get upset about them again. When did they happen? In the past. Now, nothing bad's happened right now yet, right? Oh, good. Okay. I'm trying to be nice, y'all. Most of our resentments that we carry into our future hold us back from having the blessings and having a free life to enjoy the promises that God gives us. If we spend our mind and our time and our energy going backwards and thinking about all the bad things those people did to us, if we stay there, how can we be free to enjoy what we have over here right now? Your mind can only hold so much pain and sorrow, right? And so the opposite of resentment, obviously, is, well, I'll tell you what the definition says here, I think. It says to let go of grudges, resentments, and bitterness is, well, forgiveness. That's the word. So before the Israelites were about to leave and go to that promised land, God said there should be no trace whatsoever of those thoughts in your mind that you sometimes blow out of proportion and tell your story of how bad it was in Egypt, right? If you talk about those bad things that happened to you and then you start to tell that to other people, you tell that story, how are you going to continue to feel? It's going to feel as though you're still living there, right? You're going to relive those traumas, those awful things that happen to you. But when you forgive and let it go and you get rid of it and you make a decision to do that, now you're free. Free to love, free to enjoy your life, free to have the blessings God has for you. And you notice it took 7 days for this to happen. So sometimes forgiveness and letting go of things can be a process. I get that. But you only get 7 days to do it. How about that? Not 70 years, like some of us who are almost getting that age. Here's the other side of that. Do you think the Israelites learned some things while they were in Egypt? Do we learn things sometimes in the difficulties that we face, the challenges that we face, when we become resilient to those things and we overcome those things with God's help and you get out of those situations and you're on the other side of it and you go, man, went through that. Sorry. She said, could you say that again? I guess I will. Do not disturb me, Siri, right now. What was I saying? I forget now. So there we have it. Yeah. We have the power in our mind to determine what we want to think about and what we want to continue to pick up and look at again. Right? Every moment of every day, we could express how awful people treated us or how bad it was way back when or whatever the case might be. All that does is keeps us stuck in those negative feelings and it only makes us feel bad when? Now, in the now. What's the only time that we have? Now. Are you free from your past right now? Are things different today than they were yesterday and the day before and the year before and the year before that? Yes. Have you grown through those things, right? Have you been rescued from them? Are you safe and secure right here, right now, right in this place? Is God's love coming out to you and touching you? And you said it in the song earlier. There's no place I would rather be than here in your love. Well, we can't be here in God's love and have resentment towards others. It doesn't work that way because God is a forgiving God. And love is something that we can realize that God still loved us through those situations because here we are. Here we are, proof, living proof that we made it. And nobody stopped us, did they? Nobody can stop us, can they? Nobody stopped those Israelites. Yes, they went through that time that they were going to go through, but God brought them to the other place, did he not? There's always a future with God. But don't waste your time, your energy, and your feelings, and your good vibes that you could have thinking about bad people and bad stuff they've done to you. You can't change that. And if anything, you're going to ruin today. Get rid of it once and for all.
I think that's all I have to say.
Because who's in shock? What happened? What happened? What happened? Well, what? She actually stopped saying something? Because, see, I can be here and keep telling you why you want to do that, right? Why we want to stop thinking of negative things. Does it make any sense to do that? To be a victim over and over and over again when we're victors? We have victory in Jesus Christ. We've overcome all those things that have ever happened to us. We've gone from something over here to something over here. Let's live victorious lives. And no one will do to us again what they tried to do to us before because we learned. We're empowered now, right? We have that power. But you got to get rid of those resentments in your own mind because they eat you up. They imprison you. You might as well have stayed back in Egypt. Who wants to be there anymore? So I'm saying that to say this. Now it's up to you. I've gotten rid of my stuff. It doesn't serve any good purpose anymore. And I feel a lot better and lighter about it. It's taken some time, I must admit, because there's a part of us sometimes that we want justice, don't we? But Jesus Christ was not given justice. He was treated unfairly, yet he spoke not a word. But what did we gain because of his death and how he was treated? Right? He didn't seek revenge. He didn't do anything negative to anybody. In fact, it brings him even more positive focus. And I look at him and say, wow. Look what the man went through, and he did it out of love. And he doesn't want to retaliate or harm anybody else either. That's the way we should live, right? Let God deal with those that have harmed us. God is a just God. It's not up for us to do. But we also need to come out of that place of the past into the present and into the future, right? So the question is this, now that I'm really going to end. Are you willing to get rid of it? Those thoughts, those memories, those hurts, those pains, all the people in your life that ever did you any harm or hurt you in any way? Are you going to make that decision today to be free of what those feelings were and stop telling other people how badly you were treated? How about you tell people how great God has brought you, how far he's taken you, how he's healed your wounds? And yes, you've got scars, but guess what? They're scars. That means they're healed. No more open wounds they don't need because you keep picking at it, picking at it, picking at it. No wonder it's bleeding. Put some salve on it. I pray for you to have the gift of forgetfulness because forgiving is forgetting. It's not thinking about it because every time you do, you go back there, you're going to remember it again and you're going to have to forgive it again. So how about you just forget it and be grateful for where you are right here, right now. When the Israelites made it past that place through the Red Sea, and they landed over there. You know, the Red Sea closed, and guess what? They couldn't see Egypt anymore. So I pray amnesia over all of you. Don't carry anything into the future of your past that's negative. Only grab those things that are positive, the blessings, because as much as we've been hurt by others, we've also been blessed and loved by others. Look at all the people around you today that God has replaced for all the people that once harmed you or hurt you. You've got a loving church family here and beyond us even. That's what you want to focus on. What a glorious, awesome, beautiful set of people we have around us, right? Wow. And God's going to keep multiplying us and blessing us. So question is this one last time. You ready to get rid of it? All of it? Every bit of it? There'll be no trace, no trace, no trace of resentment in your heart, mind, or soul. Amen? Amen.